Well, we talk about love a lot around here. And we talk about love in a lot of different ways. We talk about God's love. We talk about love for one another. We talk about love for our neighbors. We talk about love a lot around here. But when we talk about love, what do we talk about when we talk about love? So we talk about love a lot. We talk about love every week. And so when we get to love, what do we talk about on the Love Sunday of Advent? Because we talk about it almost every week. So what do we talk about specifically? One of the things that I was thinking of as I was putting together the message and thinking about love is we have all kinds of analogies for God's love. So we use all kinds of examples, all kinds of analogies, all kinds of similes, metaphors, all kinds of different figures of speech for God's love. And so we think about, you know, well, God's love is like a parent's love for a child, right? Before that child is even born, you know, we love that child, right? And the child is born and it's there and we love that child, even though it hasn't given us any reason to love it. And especially moms, it's given you the opposite reasons, right? It's put you through 8 months of sickness for a lot of you and then intense pain. And yet, that love is still there. It's unconditional. It's unmerited love. And so we say that God's love is like that. And we talk about God's love in a myriad of different ways. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking that, you know, all our analogies about love, all our analogies about the one-way, bottomless love of God are completely inadequate, fall so far short from the truth, from the reality of what God's love is like. And aside from making us despair, sad, it should excite us and encourage us. And it should just ignite us. This idea that when you think of the greatest love you could ever think of, when you watch a movie and it's got like this amazing love story in it. I don't watch those type of movies, but maybe you watch those type of movies. And like I like car crashes and fight scenes and superheroes. But maybe you watch, you know, those type of movies and you see the amazing love story. And it's an unbelievable love story. And you think it pales in comparison to God's love for us. It pales in comparison to God's bottomless love for us. It's like trying to explain filet mignon to someone and saying, you know what, it's like a bowl of ground beef, but better than that. Right? Like, it's so inadequate to describe a filet mignon like that, right? You know, but it is like a bowl of ground beef, but much better. But like, the analogy doesn't really work because it's so far apart, it's so distant. And yet, this is the best we have. This is the best we can do. This is the best our words can offer, the best our emotions can experience and express. And yet, it's still not even close, not even a sliver of God's great love for us. And what excitement that should bring us, because not just love. If you look around, we're surrounded by all these amazing things. So love, like literally surrounded, love, joy, peace, hope. We're surrounded by these things, and our greatest joy on this earth is not even close to what our greatest joy will be with the Lord. The peace that we experience now is but a shadow of the peace that we will have. The hope that we have now, when it is fulfilled, we'll see it as what it was. It was everything we had, but it fell so far short of what God had for us. So let's talk about love then. And let's do our best to talk about God's love. We're going to use our best words. We're going to use our best thoughts. We're going to do everything we can. And yet, as we're doing this, we're going to keep this in our minds that even as great as this is, it doesn't accurately reflect what the truth really is. And so we're just going to keep that in our minds. And so if you're inspired, if you're, you know, energized, if your heart is warmed, any of those things, I want you to keep that in your head, like this amazing feeling that I'm having right now, or these amazing thoughts that I'm having right now. How much more will it be? How much more does God have for you? You know, love. Love. How do we deal with love? I had one of my pastor friends on Facebook. He was doing sermon research on Facebook, which I'm not going to judge him for it. In fact, I might steal that from him. But he was asking, is love a feeling or is it an action? Is it a noun or is it a verb? And, I mean, the answer is yes. It's both of those things. You know, it's like the old, I want to say Boston, but I don't think it's Boston. I think it's Chicago. More than a feeling. Is that by Boston or Chicago? Boston it was, but I was right the first time. Love is more than a feeling. Right? But it's not less than a feeling. We know what love is when we feel it. But it's more than that. It's more than a feeling. And in fact, if we just relied on our feelings to simply understand what love was, we could be led astray. And I want you to think about things like Stockholm Syndrome, right? Where hostages begin to feel an affinity to their captors, right? Or think about people who are in really abusive relationships, who are getting abused day after day after day, and yet continue to say, but I love them and they love me. Right? And so if we just go just by feelings, we could be led astray. Right? And so part of love is action. But it's not just action, it's more than action. Right? It's these kind of two things mixed together. So it's not just a feeling, but it's not just action, and it's feeling and action together. It's both a verb and a noun together. Because love is not something that necessarily you fall into, even though that's the words we use all the time, right? You know, fell in love, right? You don't necessarily fall in love. Love is something that you do, and then you do again. And if you're married, you know this, and then you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it the next day, and you do it the next day, and you show love, and you experience love, and you gain love, and you continue to do it. It's not like this falling into love, and then you're in the pit, right? You know, it's not like that, and that's not what marriage is like either. But love is this thing that you do. It's this thing that you feel, this thing that you do, this thing that you receive. And we talk about God's love, it's a gift that God gives to us. That God shows us. That God reveals through his actions, reveals through his words, reveals through what he does for us. And so if we look at Isaiah 43, and we start to look at that through the lens of how God loves us, what he does for us. And it starts off with these words, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. And we think about Jacob and Israel, and you think about God's chosen people. These are God's people. He says, once you were not a nation, but now you are a nation because I chose you, right? The Lord's allotted portion is Israel. This is his people that he created out of nothing, that he created out of a miraculous birth, right? From Sarah and Abraham, God's people, Jacob and Israel. And he says, I formed you, I made you. You are my people. And what's amazing is we have the same language show up in the New Testament when it's talking about Christians. So 1 Peter 2:4 says this, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God as precious to him. You're chosen by God. God's chosen people. He has formed us. He has not only formed us each individually, where he's created us, that we are created beings. We are not accidents of biology with no purpose and no past and no meaning. But he created us and he formed us as people. But he also created us and formed us as a people after him, after his heart, as his chosen people. We are grafted in to Israel. This is us. This is you. This is me. All of us who have been adopted, all of us who have faith in Jesus Christ. This is us. For I have formed you. I have created you. I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name, and you are mine. And again, Peter picks up on this, verse 9. Says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isaiah 43, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. God loves us. He loves us with such an all-consuming love that he put us together and he gave us things to do. Right? And if we start thinking about our analogies, we use our analogies and remember that they're inadequate, but we think about children. How are children born? What was the creation, the creation mandate before sin came and broke everything? Children were born out of an act of love, out of a physical act of love. Children are literally created out of love. Now, of course, the world has twisted it, like the world has twisted all good gifts of God. And so the world has twisted that loving act. But it doesn't change what God's original purpose was. The children are literally created out of love, just as you and I are literally created out of love. Because God loves us, he made us. Because God loved you, he made you. You think of how crazy our world has gone. There's a court case that happened just recently, within the last 6 weeks or so, where a young lady who was born with, she was born with spina bifida, and she sued her parents and the parents' doctor for allowing her to be born. And she won. And she got all kinds of damages in that for allowing her to be born. What kind of lies do you have to believe about yourself to think that you'd be better off dead? How devoid of love, how devoid of knowing the love that God has for you, that you would think you'd be better off not being born. Now, I don't want to downplay her struggles. I'm sure she had unbelievable struggles in her life in a number of ways. Obviously, you know, emotional and mental struggles, also physical struggles. But if there was only somebody who came alongside her and told her, you're here because God loves you and he wants you to be here. You're valuable. You're useful. You're worthwhile. Right, if only there was somebody in her life that would come along and say that to her. And if only she would hear it. Because I want you to notice what's happening in Isaiah 43. Right, this is what the Lord God says. He who formed you, he who created you, he who redeemed you, he who has summoned you by name, you're his. And what happens next? He says, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Notice how God's love does not waver, does not change based on the circumstances of your life. Right? Notice how God's love doesn't run away when things start going badly. Notice how you're not left alone. I remember doing a membership interview at some point, and I asked the person what their favorite verse in the Bible was, and I don't want to put this person down because they were, you know, they really wanted to know the Lord and they really wanted to do this, but it's a funny story. And I asked them what their favorite verse in the Bible was. And they said, well, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but my favorite story in the Bible is that footprints one. And I'm like, what footprints one. I'm not quite sure what you mean. You know the one where there's two sets of footprints and then there's one set of footprints? I'm like, I still don't understand what you're saying. And they said, you know, it's you know, where, you know, times get hard and there's one set of footprints and the person says to God, how come there's, why did you leave me when it got hard? And God said, well, that was when I was carrying you. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, it's a great story. It's a good story. It's not in the Bible, but it's a good story. But it does show God's love for us. And this is exactly what it says in Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you pass